And then we talked about our relationships with each other and the possibility that Christ offers us to be reconciled to one another in new ways. That was the second week. And then last week was about God's invitation for us to participate in the reconciliation that's happening in the world, the renewing of all things. And we sang, actually, about how the light of God is breaking in. And I hope that this week you looked around your life and were able to see ways in which God is, in fact, doing that. Maybe it's the lake, you know. Maybe it was a friend or a provision of God's that somehow came along. I hope you saw God's goodness and the redeeming that God is doing in the world, because it is happening. And we also know how hard reconciliation is, right? We know how difficult and how tiring. I was reading Facebook this morning, a dialogue, I think, Chris Miller, this was your page, and an exchange that was happening with you and someone who I didn't know. This person was just saying, I'm so tired, I can't engage in the conversation anymore. I'm just walking away. And isn't that how we kind of feel sometimes in life? Like, I'm just done. I have nothing left to give to it. So this whole business is hard, which is why what we want to do for the next few weeks is think about some of the barriers that show up when we are trying to pursue this life that God extends to us, but these barriers that we bump into. And to do that, we are partnering with CCGR and with the Nepali Speaking Church, and we're all swapping pulpits here these next few weeks. So today, Rodrigo's up. That means he's here and at his church and at the Nepali church, just bringing it the same one, I think, right? All three times. I hope so, for your sake. And then next week, Yaakov is here, and he'll be at all three. And then the final week, I get to go to CCGR and then am giving a very short little sermon when we all worship together at 4 in the afternoon. Okay, October 15, there's no 9:30. Yay, our gift. We're coming at 4. All right, we're coming at 4 to worship with all three churches together. So there you go. Hopefully that sets you up a little bit, my friend. It's so good to have you here. Mm-hmm. I value you. I value your leadership. I learn from you. I'm blessed because we're in this thing together. Okay. So thanks for being here this morning. Can we welcome Rodrigo?
Thank you for having me here, and it's an honor and a privilege. And before we start, I brought with me today my friend Gerson, and just want him to come up here and share a little bit in his experience what it, you know, how CCGR has influenced his life, but also how the partnership with the two other churches have impacted his life as well. So, Gerson, ¿necesitas o no? Oh. I'm asking him if he needs me or not. But he says, yeah. He speaks English, but he's shy today.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Gracias por la oportunidad.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Y ha sido una bendición muy grande.
For me, has been a great blessing.
Pertenecer, ¿verdad?, a la iglesia, a la comunidad cristiana.
To belong to CCGR.
Y también por el privilegio de conocer personas, ¿verdad?, diferentes en cultura.
And also the privilege to get to know people that are different in culture.
Pero siguiendo al mismo Dios.
But following the same God.
Y es una bendición, ¿verdad?, y la Biblia habla acerca de eso, ¿verdad? Que somos una sola iglesia.
And it's a blessing, and the Bible talks about that we are one church.
Y estando en esta iglesia nos damos cuenta de la diferencia de piel, lengua.
And being in this church, we realize of the difference in skin color and language.
Pero todos somos hijos e hijas de Dios.
But we're all sons and daughters of God.
Y eso es una de las cosas que más a mí y mi familia nos ha bendecido mucho.
And that's one of the things that has blessed me and my family greatly.
Y pues estamos esperando con muchas ansias el día donde nos podamos reunir todos y alabar juntos a Dios.
And we're waiting for the day that we all can worship together and praise God.
So, gracias.
Thank you. Gracias, Gerson. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's I just want to say that it's always an honor and a privilege to be with you guys. I love being at the branch, and I know that sometimes you guys see me in the back. I sneak in just because I like being with you guys. And something that I always say at CCER is that it's good to be in the house of the Lord. So I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to come on a Sunday and just celebrate, you know, what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in our midst. And I'm excited about the next 3 weeks. I don't know if you guys are excited, but I'm really excited about the next 3 weeks. And I know that God is going to do something. God has already started doing something. And I'm just not only happy and excited, but I'm also expectant. Like, I have an expectancy that God is going to do something, that God is going to show up. And I know, because I've been here and hearing Chris, that you've been working, you know, in terms of, as a church, of what it means to bring reconciliation and what it means and what are the steps that need to be taken. And I'm just really happy to be part of that. So once again, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. We're going to read a scripture. I'm going to grab the mic because this thing is bothering me. And we're going to read a couple of verses, 34 and 35. And you guys know how to pronounce that, right? So it's uno. How do you pronounce the one in the middle? Ek. Ek. That's how it's in Nepalese. And the last one, well, you guys know how to pronounce the last one, right? So Acts 10, 34, 35 says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" Let us pray for a minute. Lord, thank you for your love and mercy, and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we just ask that in the next 20 minutes, that we may be able to hear your voice, that we might be able to hear what you're telling us today, Lord, and that as we look for ways to carry on your will and carry on what you have asked us to do, Lord, that you will give us the grace that we need, the wisdom that we need, Lord, to continue doing this. So thank you for this time, Lord, that we can come together and worship you and learn from you and be one as a family, Lord. So we praise you and we worship you, and this time is for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the last few weeks and days, I've been in some meetings with different people in the denomination and people from different churches, and I've been having meetings with people from big churches and also small churches and all kinds of size of churches. And as we talk about CCGR, as we talk about our church, the conversation always comes up. The conversation that always comes up is the relationship that we have with you and the relationship that we have with the Nepalese church. And it's always interesting, because the reaction that we always get is like, what? Three churches? One building? And that's kind of like the reaction that we always get from the different people. And the following question is always something like, how do you guys do it? How do you guys do it? And, you know, it would be nice and to say, oh, it's we work our magic and it's really easy and you know, but it's been a lot of conversations, it's been a lot of learning from each other, it's been a lot of trying to understand each other and work through sometimes difficult conversations. But if I'm honest, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm opening my heart here. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's been times when the branch doesn't worship in the morning because you guys are somewhere else, and then we come at 11 or 10:45 and you're not here, and we're like, where's the branch? What happened? Why they're not here, you know? And we miss you. When you're not here, we miss you. And we have come to have that familiarity, right? That even though many times we don't talk to each other, or, you know, we're in a hurry or anything like that, but we recognize the faces, and we are happy that you guys are here. And in a way, we are already doing something that is not happening a lot in other churches. We're already doing something that is not happening. In fact, in West Michigan, there's no other church that is doing what we're doing, which is sharing the building and still loving each other. There's no other church in West Michigan that is doing anything like that. So I'm just happy that we are doing it. And we're being, in a sense, pioneers of and modeling something that other churches are starting, or at least are starting to think about adopting for their churches. But the question is, can we do better? The question is, can we really learn from each other in a more practical way? The question is, can we really learn to carry each other's burdens? How can we strengthen our relationship? What is stopping us from doing it? And the passage that we read has a backstory that I just want to quickly mention because it's really interesting. It's going to help us understand what God is trying to tell us today. And up to this moment when we read the passage, you know, we see Jesus die, resurrected, Holy Spirit descended over the apostles. And for a few chapters, up to chapter 10, the gospel of Jesus Christ has only been preached to the Jews. So if you were not a Jew, if you were not a person of that descendancy, the gospel have not been reached to you. And the story tells us that Peter is praying around noon. That's what the Bible says. And Peter is praying, and all of a sudden he is really hungry, just like I'm really hungry right now. And as Peter is praying and thinking about food and all of that, Bible tells us that he comes kind of like into an ecstasy, and he has this vision, and it's a weird vision that Peter has. And in the vision that Peter has, he starts seeing some type of reptiles and animals and birds and all these kind of crazy animals that are coming up and down in his vision. And in the vision, Peter hears a voice that says, "You're hungry? Kill and eat." And Peter says, "No way. I'm not going to kill and eat that, because that is something that is so common, and it's not clean. I'm not going to do that. I mean, I know I'm hungry, but I'm not going to do that, because that's so unclean. That's so common." And then the voice in the vision tells him again, "Peter, please do not call common what God has already made clean." What's interesting about the story is that a day before, in some other place, God was also dealing with another person. His name was Cornelius. And God was dealing with Cornelius as well. And Cornelius has a vision too. It's not as weird as Peter's vision, but he also has a vision. And in the vision, you know, the voice tells him, you need to bring that Peter. You need to bring Peter. You need to ask Peter to come to you, and he's going to explain some things to you. And so Cornelius is obedient, and he sends some people so they can bring Peter. So as Peter is having this weird vision, the people that Cornelius has sent, they come to his house, and he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to him and tells to Peter, "Peter, they're here for you. They're here for you. Remember what I just told you, Peter. So do not hesitate to go with them." Story continues. Next day, they wake up. They drink coffee. I guess, I don't know if they drink coffee or not, but they're getting ready to go. And the story gets even more interesting. So Peter goes with these people to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius is really excited about Peter coming. So it's not only that he is in his house, but he invites a lot of his friends. So everybody's excited that Peter is going to get there. And so as Peter gets there, you know, Cornelius bows down and worships him. He thinks he's some kind of god or something. And Peter says, no. No, I'm a man just like you. So don't worship me. But this is where things get really interesting. Peter starts to have a conversation with Cornelius' friends and Cornelius. And he starts saying something that I don't recommend you to do, okay? So don't do this. Please, don't do this. But Peter does this. And he starts saying, you know how awful it is for a Jew like me, you know, someone like me, to hang with people like you? That's what it says. You don't believe me? Read it in the Bible. It's just in Acts 10. You know how weird it is and how awful it is for, you know, someone as clean as me to be with you guys? But here I am. You know, I'm obedient. So what's going on? What do you guys brought me here for? Can you imagine the silence in the room and the awkwardness and, you know, did he just really say that, you know? But, you know, Cornelius starts to speak and he starts to tell him the vision that he had and why he brought him here. And then something in Peter starts to change. Something in Peter starts to say, you know what? God is doing something with them. God is doing something amazing with them. And that's when we get to the passage that we read at the beginning. So, I mean, that's the back story of what we read. And it's an interesting story. It's an awkward, I think it's one of the most awkward conversations in the Bible, to be honest. But there's a few things that we can learn from this. And I just want to mention four things that we can learn from this. So that if we really want to be intentional about reconciliation, if we really want to be intentional about building relationships with people that look and think differently than us, then we have to be aware of these four things that I just want to mention to you. And the first thing that we need to do or that we got to be aware of is that we need to allow God to work in our prejudices. That's how you say it, right? Prejudices. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, we all have our own. And at least we're not confronted with them. At least we're not confronted. We will never be able to associate with other people. I remember many years ago I was in college and I was in a marketing class. And the professor started asking, what is the first thing that comes to mind when I mention these countries? So he started saying, Germany, technology, luxury. Switzerland, precision. Everybody thought about, you know, the watches and the Mont Blancs and all of that. Mexico, people like poverty, dirtiness, laziness. And it was just so shocking to hear the stereotypes and the prejudices that a lot of people have. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all have some of those prejudices. What do we think when we think about Latinos in the United States? What are the first things that come to mind? When we think about African Americans, when we think about other cultures, what are the things that come into our mind? And unless we let God reveal in our lives what are some of those things that need to be changed in our lives, we will never, ever be able to have real relationships with other people. So I ask you today, in your own mind, what are some of those things that still need to change in your life, that still need to change in my life? So number one, we need to let God work on our prejudices. Prejudices, sorry for that. Number two, you and I need to learn to be obedient. Peter could have said a lot of excuses. Peter could have said, no, there's no way I'm going. You know, it's not right. I don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to do it. And the topic of reconciliation and unity in the body of Christ shouldn't be optional for the church. The topic of bringing unity and the topic of being one shouldn't be something that, we can deal with it later. You know, we're fine. You know, look at us. You know, we are so good. And we can have many reasons. We can have many reasons not to do it. I'm not qualified. I don't have time. It's not my responsibility. But when Jesus prays for the unity that he wants in his church, he puts the level and the bar so high when he says, Father, I ask that they may be one, just like you and I are one. Can we imagine how the Father and Jesus are one? And Jesus' prayer is that unity that we have, that connection that we have, connection, Lord, Father, that's the connection that I want them to have. That they may be united, just like me and you are united. And I think it starts in the church. It starts with us. And for many years, or for a long time, the church has been reactive. And I think that needs to change. The church needs to be active, not reactive. So in the midst of everything that is going on in the world and in the midst of everything that is going in our nation, where there's a lot of division and there's a lot of things going on, that the church will take a stand and say, you know, we're not going to be the same. We're going to be different. We're going to be a counterculture where we are going to look for the unity and we're going to seek for reconciliation among our brothers and our sisters and in society. So number one, God needs to work in our prejudices. Number two, we need to be obedient. Number three, we need to be willing to be uncomfortable. Imagine how uncomfortable was the road to Cornelius' house. Imagine how uncomfortable it was for Peter and for Cornelius and everybody who was there. And if we're honest, we live in a culture that makes such a great deal of our comfort. You know, we don't have to sacrifice comfort, even in our cars, right? We have dual zone AC, right? So if you don't like, you know, how is my temperature, don't worry. You know, you have your own temperature. I have my own temperature. Even in our houses, right, in our beds, we have sleep number, no? So I'm number 20. My wife is number 20. You know, we have these so many things that makes us comfortable that we are unwilling to be uncomfortable. We are not willing to be uncomfortable. We recently had a visitor to our church, and I understand that not all visitors, and I say with respect if there's visitors here, I understand that not all visitors will be part of our church. But, you know, when we follow up with that person and say, well, we would like to see you again, and this person is like, no, it was too uncomfortable for me, so I'm not coming to your church. I'm going to look for a church that accommodates better to my needs. I get it, but we got to be able and we got to be willing to be uncomfortable if we really want to learn from each other. The only way people say that if you want to feel what it is to be someone else is if you're willing to walk in their shoes for a mile or two. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Last week, I was at Calvin College, and I was sharing at the chapel. And the question was, how can we
How can we know what are you guys going through? That was the question that they asked me because of the earthquake in Mexico and the hurricane in Puerto Rico and everything that has been going on. And I told them, come to one of our services and lament with us, worship with us. You know the worries and the concerns that our people have, that the families that are still are not able to communicate with their family members. And it's a real concern. So you want to know what it is? Join us. And be uncomfortable with us for a little bit. And the last thing, I preach really short. So the last thing that we learn from this passage is that we also need to learn to be vulnerable with each other. And that's something that we don't like either, right? I mean, when we post something on Facebook, we always show the best version of ourselves, right? We take a picture and we don't like it. No, don't post that one. Let me take another picture. So, you know, because we want to show the best version of ourselves. We want to show the best image of ourselves, even when we have to fake it. And the more you get to know a person, the more you get to know someone, you're going to start seeing their mistakes and their errors. And I'm pretty sure that you guys spend a week with me, your perception of me is going to change. For good or for bad, but it's going to change. Because you'll start realizing that many things that I don't want to say here because I don't want to expose myself. But that's the reality. And unless we are willing to be vulnerable with others, we're not going to really be able to build meaningful relationships. We're going to build relationships on the surface. Hi, how are you? I'm doing good. How's your family? Yes, it's doing good. Okay, bye. Sayonara. See you. But if we really want to build those relationships and bring reconciliation, you know, we got to really let ourselves be vulnerable with others. I really like how the story ends, because that's a happy ending. The happy ending of the story is that after Peter starts to change his mentality and understands why he had been brought to Cornelius' house, he starts to preach to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he starts telling them about the love of Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ had done. And the story tells us that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descended over everybody that was there. And there were some manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But what happened was that Peter was never the same. And Cornelius and his family were never the same. And as you can read in Acts 11, Peter goes back to Jerusalem and tells him, you know what? Really, God shows no partiality. God is moving around the world and God is moving with everybody. God is moving and doing something powerful. And when we are intentional about bringing reconciliation, when we're intentional about building those relationships, we don't know how, we don't know what, but God will do something amazing. And God will show up in marvelous ways, in ways that we would never imagine that He would move. And then we would be able to say, you know what? I don't fully understand CCGR, but I know God is doing something with them. I don't understand the Nepalese community. I actually don't understand anything about their language, but God is doing something with them. God is moving in powerful ways, you know, and I don't fully understand the branch, but God is doing something with you guys. And we can recognize that God is doing something different in our lives. So as we think about reconciliation, and as we think about the unity that we want to see, what are some of the prejudices in our lives? Are we willing to be obedient? Are we willing to be uncomfortable? And are we willing to be vulnerable to one another? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your love and mercy, and thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to be together today. Lord, as we learn from this passage and the call that you have upon our lives to seek unity in the body of Christ, Lord, help us reveal in our lives, Lord, the things that still need to change. Start with me, Lord. What are some of the things that are in my mind that shouldn't be there? What is some of the cultural luggage that I've been carrying, Lord, that doesn't allow me to see people for who they are? Lord, help us be obedient to your call. And there's a lot of reasons why not do it. But let us see the reasons why we need to do it, Lord. Why we need to rise up as the church and do what you're calling us to do. Lord, and if it's necessary for us to come out of our comfort zone, give us the strength that we need to do that. Lord, empower us through your Holy Spirit to be able to be uncomfortable. Lord, and help us be vulnerable to one another. To show that you are working in our lives and that we're not perfect. To show that you are working in us, Lord, and we haven't accomplished at all. Lord, that the struggles that we go through may be the same struggles that other people go through, Lord. And that our experiences and our failures as people, as parents, may be helpful for other people, Lord, that are going through the same situation. So help us be transparent to one another. And Lord, we ask that you would let us see your work and your power moving in other cultures. That you will let us see, Lord, the work that you're doing at CCGR, the Nepalese community, and in every other community that we have contact with. Lord, we know that you are ahead of us. And we just want to join what you are already doing in this city, in our nation, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. So we give you thanks, Lord, because you're working in our lives. We don't want to be the same. We want to be changed and transformed by you, Lord. So help us. Give us the strength that we need. In Jesus' name we pray.